Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs?
Yeah, NBA Australia, how are you going? Hey, and I hope you're right. It is Tuesday, April 23rd, and I am your host, James Clements. You can also see and hear me on the AFL Today Show, the official AFL Supercoach podcast as well, and Fox Sports Lab NBA. What a day of playoff basketball. Yes, mate. We're back in the Larry Armour Studios, wearing a Sean Kemp t-shirt. You should be watching this on YouTube as well, just to see that. You can see Cutout Deli behind me, hanging with Mr. Cooper, all the good stuff. Anyway, today we're going to wrap some game twos. JJ Redick is up for grabs as the Charlotte head coach. Brooklyn have a new head coach. Not many people care about that, but that's pretty funny. But really, we're just going to talk a lot about how awesome Jam and Jamal Murray is. More than anything else. So that's going to be fun. But that means we also have to wrap those games in the NBA Australia Game Wraps. We've got That's Not an Eyefold, Made No Mate, Spot of the Night, Better Than Lonzo Ball. There are Yenars. Plenty of Yenars, actually, today. The Unpopular Opinion of the Day and our Back Take, yes, where we're serving up a flame grill take. There is an Andrew Gay's Grey Mumba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence. The Australian Player Watch, of course, and a deli review to close out. But we have some really, really, really fun games tomorrow to pick and preview at the end as well. So, a trucker's show. Let's bloody well get into it. Episode 1081. We're better than HD now. You little beauty. It's NBA Australia. Let's go.
G'day, this is Andrew Gaze, and you're listening and watching NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Ah, you better watch out for the Chuck attack for Kenny. Enjoyed that split-second finish. Chuck beat him to the board, which was very cool. But yeah, anytime you get beaten by Chuck, it's pretty good. I just enjoy inside the NBA. The cool part is, it still shows on League Pass. Bit of a tip there, so get right around it. Anyway, let's start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Show. It's with the Daily. Oh, it's a whip around gym. Yes, and that's right. The Brooklyn Nets have a new head coach, Jordi Fernandez. He's from Barcelona. He looks awesome. I'm kind of here. He was head coach of the Canadian team, but he's also with the Cavs, the Nugs, and then the Kings over the last couple of years. So, kind of nice. Exciting times for the Brooklyn Nets, I guess. Just because they need a new start. They need to figure out what they are, what they want to be. They want to trade Mikal Bridges or not. Trade everything else that isn't nailed down. I don't know. It's a bit of a weird one. They're in a weird situation. Anyway, Jordi Fernandez. Very cool. Speaking of coaching gear, JJ Redick, head coach, ? For a bloke who's got two pretty successful podcasts, he's like the number one analyst on ESPN, might want to take up the job in Charlotte. That's right, the Hornets, I'm wearing their hat right now, are interviewing JJ Redick for their head coaching gig. Pretty interesting. He's shown an interest in making the jump over the last few years. I think this is just more that he's sick of listening to Kendrick Perkins mouth breathe. Right? He's just like, I want to get out of here because I can't yell at Kendrick to breathe through his nose anymore. I'm out. Poosh. Just sick of Stephen A. Smith's shit. He's like, you're a fucking idiot, Stephen A. You're just talking out your ass. I mean, what are you doing?
This is ridiculous. Oh, Lord.
Not wrong. And the Wolves ownership dispute still going on. Mark Laurie and A-Rod are basically aggressively in dispute of Glenn Taylor's basically going, yep, they didn't have the cash. So F them. They're out. They didn't make the payment date. Sucked in. Deals off. AKA, I now know that my team is worth more than double it was when I sold it to you jokers. And you broke. You broke. I'm going to resell this. It's my team. And everybody else is like, oh, I don't know if he can do that. Yeah, but maybe he can. And Laura and A-Rod are just like, oh, can he do that? Whoopsie doodle. But I think this is the entire thing, right? So this Mark Laurie and A-Rod, I've talked this one out, right? They were like, hey, we might have missed that, but we also have The NBA hadn't formally approved the purchase, which is why it had been pushed back. And there was like an agreement where if that sort of thing happened, you would extend that deadline. And Glenn Taylor's like, bullshit. It was March 27 or nothing, dickheads. Because there was meant to be an automatic 90-day extension to obtain NBA approval and get the majority ownership. So they have mediation set for May 1st. I struggle to see, unless there's like something in that contract that Laura and A-Rod are basically like, look, it feels like they just don't have the cash. And it feels like Glenn Taylor doesn't want to sell it to him anymore because he knows that he can sell it for even more. My question is always going to be, like, how much is enough, Glenn Taylor? Like, you've owned the team. They've been crap for years and years and years. You stink as an owner. You're already rich. Like, what are you doing? Who cares? Anyway, but at the same time, if I could just double my money by going, hang on a second, these idiots didn't pay me in time. Fuck them. I'd do it. Let's do some game raps. Game raps. Cleveland, that's right.
Cleveland.
Up 2-0 on Orlando. Because you're a wizard, Harry. You're not very wizardy at the moment, Orlando. 96-86, they lose this one today. It was a rock fight. They lost Jalen Suggs early on, looked like he was never going to walk again, then he came back. The thing is, in between him coming back, Orlando just completely cratered. Their offense is an absolute shit show. It's legitimately horrible.
This is horrible! There's no other way to put it!
Geez, it might be something like Jim had brought up a few times over this season, isn't it? Yes. Hey, Jim, what is it you keep saying about Orlando? Get a goddamn point guard.
Oh, Jalen Suggs is fine. Marco Fultz is fine. Ice Cole Anthony is fine.
No, they're not! Jalen Suggs is an amazing defense-first rip-snorter off-guard. He's not your ball handler, do everything, set everybody else point guard, right? Markel Fultz can't shoot. No one's afraid of him at all. He's a little bowling ball, but goddamn, he's about as much of a threat as the fucking 18-month-old squid number two. He's been home sick for 5 days. Jesus. And I mean, Ice Cole Anthony, he's tiny. He's just a gunner off the bench. This is it. Like Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner, hello. They can create. We know this, right? But there's a difference between creating your own shot, creating for others that isn't just like piffing the ball across the court into the opposition's hands. And that's what they kept doing. They had 6 turnovers each. The offense stinks. Suggs came back. They still sucked. Isaac couldn't hit a shot. The guards just can't get any half-decent looks because no one's setting them up. Basically, this is a different Orlando team from what we saw during the regular season. They were able to dictate pace. They were able to dictate stuff via their defense. Against Cleveland.
Cleveland!
They are unable to do so. Because Cleveland.
Cleveland!
Have Donnie Mitchell, Darius Rucker, Judy Garland carving them up every time. And their defense just never looks set. It never looks dangerous. The only time the Magic sort of really got going was when Mike Mo Wagner, hello, and his big stupid pumpkin head. He and Gary Harris hit a few shots, and you're like, oh, they're sort of still hanging around. Nah, they got smashed. The Cavs dissected them. The Magic kept giving them the ball back, and they have now gone, 9 of 35 from downtown today after going 8 of 37 from downtown last game. Feel like you need somebody who can shoot. What is going on? Paolo Banchero at 21-3-3. A lot of garbage time, easy buckets in that 21 points, though. He was not very good. 6 turnovers. Just the degree of difficulty, the shots that he was taking as well, Paolo. It's just like, what are you doing? 18-7-2 for Franz. He was going early, and then he fell off a cliff. He also had the 6 turnovers to 2 assists. Gary Harris hit 4 threes. He had 14. Suggs, he died, then came back. It's like Easter again. 9-5-4. 12-6 for Mo Wagner. But then you had Wendell Carter Jr. go, hey, guess what? These guys are bigger than me. This sucks. He went 1 of 7. Johnny Isaac, defensive maestro apparently. Went 1 of 7, all of which were from downtown. Ice Cole Anthony has not hit a shot in this series. He was 0 of 4 in this one. When you've got three of your major rotation dudes going 2 of 18 combined, I don't know, I'm no math magician, but you're fucked. Donnie Mitchell, 23 points for the Cavs. He was very good. He only shot, 8 of 22. But talk about just like time and time again, it's like, I need to control this situation, I will. Darius Rucker, Judy Garland hit 4 of 3s as well. He had 15, 3-4. Go the throw, Jared Allen was everywhere. Just the pick and roll, they just dissect. It's like, oh, he's there again for another oop. bang. Orlando was like, we've never seen this before. 16 points, 20 rebounds, and 3 blocks for Go The Fro. 17 and 7 for Mobley. Okoro had 10 very easy buckets off the bench. George Niang missed everything, did the minivan, 0 of 4. But my sweet baby, Caris LeVert, hit a couple of threes. He had 8 points, too. Look, the Cavs' offense is not much chop. It is fucking light years ahead of the Magic's offense at this point. Orlando go up 2-0, heading to Cleveland.
Cleveland!
Wait, no, head from Cleveland. Wait a minute, Cleveland are up 2-0.
Cleveland!
And they head to Orlando on Friday. Had that written backwards. What am I doing? Did I have a stroke while writing that? Probably. Right, that was the shit game. How good were the other two games? The New York Knickerbockers of New York City beating the Philadelphia 1-2-3-4-5-6s, 104-101, and the Lakers. The Lakers. Oh.
The Lakers!
Absolutely bottled at the end of that game, as did the Sixers. Denver win that one, 101-99. What an awesome pair of games. So let's start with Philly versus New York. That was unreal. Wild start. Philly were flying around. Maxi and Embiid. It's like, here we go. This is the Maxi and Embiid we expected. Then by the second quarter, though, like the shine came off a little bit. Hart and Brunson got going, and you're like, oh, right, the Villanova Knicks, they're really good. Got them back to within 7. And you're like, Philly had a little bit of a moment there where they could just really, really put their foot in their throat. And Josh Hart went,
not on my bloody watch.
He had 19 and 8 in the first half, hit 4 or 5 from downtown. Literally kept the Knicks in it. And that was sort of like the one moment probably this entire season when you've gone, yeah, I could probably see why the Knicks do miss Julius Randle. Yeah. Yeah, Julius. Yeah, he would have been a bit handy in the first half. And like just manufacturing easy buckets for New York, right? Like that's, you were really missing that in the first half. Brunson had a wildly inefficient game as well. But anyway. You had 20 for Maxi in the first half. Embiid had 16 and 10. They were dominating, but they're only up 4. And you're like, oh, God. The Sixers, what are they going to do? No one on the Sixers could hit a shot in the third quarter. The rebounding got picked up by the Knicks. Ozar Hartenstein, he scored 10 points as well. Dante DiVincenzo hit some shots as well. Boom, the Knicks led by 5 heading into the fourth quarter. You're like, oh, God. Just imagine the Sixers had anybody outside Maxi and Embiid.
Oh, but they've got Tobias Harris, Jim.
Yep, that's my point. The Sixers are the Tobias Harris of NBA teams. That's not a compliment. But then Tyrese Maxey went absolutely nuclear. It's pronounced nuclear in the fourth. It's a massive 3. Puts them up 4. And like Sixers fans are like, yes, mate, we've got this sorted. We're laughing. And then somehow the New York Knickerbockers of New York City scored 8 straight points in 27 seconds. What? Well, what an amazing sequence of events this was. You had Maxi basically flopping, Nick Nurse trying to call a timeout. Ozar Hartenstein, yeah, gets the ball, gets the rebound, throws it back out. OG gets it to Dante for his second bite. Mike Breen gives him the double bang. He's only the 5th player all time to get a double bang. Reportedly, puts them up, boom, away they go. The second shot, to have the stones to like have a crack at that second shot after you missed the first one, it was amazing. Dante DiVincenzo was unreal, but Hartenstein had a block earlier, got the rebound at the end, gave him the second chance after Dante missed the first time. Obviously, Sixers fans are all up in arms, and the Sixers are reportedly going to, I don't know, like, what was it? What's the wording of what they say? Basically, it's like, we're going to officially have a whinge and have a giant bloody sook because we're a bunch of sooks in Philadelphia. It was pretty funny. As soon as they sort of like said it, everyone just dunked on them and went, oh, have a cry. It's the crying Embiid meme writ large, right? They're going to file a grievance. And Embiid was like, yeah, look, everyone knew that Nick Nurse was calling a timeout, and everybody's broken down the tape now of Nick Nurse pump faking his timeout, waiting. And then when they don't have the ball, he's then calling it. It's like, you can't call a timeout when you don't have the ball. Just saying, Nick Nurse. Bit of a weird one. But for them to hit the shot, like to hit the points, to score the points in those moments was massive. Brunson hits the 3, gets the shooter's bounce, and then the Dante DiVincenzo gear. Absolutely huge. Maxi was magnificent. And they just came up short. He was too busy sort of flopping around on that final inbounds pass. They should have called a timeout prior to inbounding, and that would have saved them probably the game. Like, they completely cooked it. But Joel Embiid's too busy having a fucking sook in his locker room go, "Who's the refs? Oh, I was so mean. I don't know what happened. We're going to win this series. We're the better team. We're going to keep on fighting." I don't know. Feels like the better team should be up 2-0. Because I think you're down 2-0 there, Joel. Jesus. Have a bloody cry, mate. Anyway, look, you feel bad for Tyrese Maxey, who was sick. Like, literally and figuratively. That's right. He played sick because he had the flu. I also put in a sick performance. He had 35 points on 12 of 22, shooting 5-11 from deep, 9 rebounds, 10 assists. He was unreal. 34, 10, and 6 from Embiid. Now, if you notice, there's a similar number to what he had in the first half. That's right. He had 0 rebounds in the second half. I don't know about you, but if you're 7'40", you should probably get more than 0 rebounds in an entire half of basketball. Just saying. Well, the thing is, when Embiid is out there barely functional on defense, or actually sort of running back at times, yeah, it's not a giant surprise that you're getting 0 rebounds when you run from three-point line to three-point line. Anyway, he shot 12 of 29 for his 34 points. He had some 0 rebounds that second half. Not great. Still, we have Harris. Tobias Harris. What did you have there, Tobias? He's like, "Oh, man, I had 10 points. It's like, "Oh, geez, you must have fought pretty hard for those." Nah. He had 10 points in the first half, and he finished with, you guessed it, 10 points. Amazing gear. Absolutely amazing gear from Tobias Harris. $35 million, and he's like, "Do you want me to score?" Sucked in. I'm just not gonna. I just don't want to. That's my entire vibe. I don't care that I'm getting paid $35 million. I just don't want to. And you're like, all right, great job, everybody. Great job. So Tobias Harris in that first half, if you look at it from the point of view where you go, well, at least he sort of gave him something. It's like, yeah, but this is the exact Tobias Harris, right? You're just like, well, he's going to go 4 of 8 and score 10 points in the first half and then do absolutely fucking sweet dick in the second half. That's the Tobias Harris experience. Kelly Oubre had 4 points and 2 of 7 shooting. Nick Batum, I am going back to stealing some money, huh? 6 points of 2 of 5 shooting. And Buddy Hield, most disappointing player, maybe. He has been absolutely abysmal. I'm going to talk about him again in a second. I'll tell you, he's the opposite of Buddy Hield. Josh Hart, 21 points, 15 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. He was absolutely immense. He played, 24 minutes in the first half. Guess how many minutes he played in the second half? It was 24. He played all 48. He's a legend. He's a weapon. He went 4 of 7 from 3, 7 of 16 overall. Brunson had 24, 8 and 6. As I mentioned, though, he shot 8 of 29, 1 of 6 from 3. He just can't get the 3 ball to fall. When it does, it sort of feels like, yeah, the Knicks are going to be even more dangerous. Dante DiVincenzo had 19 points in the end, 10 and 4 for OG Anunoby. He sort of woke up in the second half as well and sort of just started making way more of a nuisance of himself. And so did OJ Hartenstein, yeah, who had the 10 points in the third. He ends up with 14 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, and 3 blocks. He was unreal. Bojan Bogdanovic hit in a couple of big, big, big threes late. Deuce McBride had 9 points as well. 0 of 3 from downtown, though, but still. Bing bong! Knickerbockers of New York City are up 2-0 going to Philly on Friday. And then finally, Lakers-Denver 99-101. Hoo boy! What a game this was. 21-7 by the Lakers over the last 6.5 minutes of the second quarter. They're up 15. D'Lo had 6 threes in the first half. And that was kind of it, right? Like, AD had 16 points on 8 shots in the first half. It was fantastic. The Lakers went 5 of 20 from 3 in the first half. D'Lo went 5 of 6. And you're like, yeah, the Lakers are going to steal this one, right? Wrong. Narrator, they did not steal it. They're up 20. The Nuggets look beaten down, broken, just a bit sad in the junk. And then they ripped off a 7-0 run. Still into a 13-point game with 3 minutes left in the third quarter. Jokic has sort of woken up. Christian Brown is sort of causing a little bit of havoc. Jam and Jamal Murray still hasn't done much. MPJ was the one sort of keeping them in this throughout the game. Aaron Eric Gordon was very handy. The Joker was really well stymied by AD, right? They just sort of kept fucking him up on defense in the pick and roll. AD was playing his ass off. And then, as so often happens when it comes to the Los Angeles Lakers, Los Angeles, California, they all fell off a fucking cliff except for LeBron James. Like, it was a 10-point game, a 9-point game. D'Lo hits his 8-3. And you're like, hang on a second. Jeez, this should be all right for the Lakers. Like, they should probably win this, right? Wrong. They scored 14 total points across 14 minutes of basketball. They were scoreless for 3 minutes in the fourth quarter. And the Nuggets went on another like 6-0 run, and then boom, it's like you're down 5 and there's only 8 minutes left in the game. You're laughing. They slowly strangled the life out of the rest of the Lakers. Jamal hit two big, big, big shots to get it to a one possession game. You're like, oh shit, Nuggets, avalanche. LeBron then hit two massive threes to put them back up by 8. And you're like, oh geez. Unfortunately for the Lakers, everybody else completely shit down their leg. AD was very clearly completely fucking gassed at this point. They only hit two other field goals, not by LeBron, the rest of this game. It was Reeves and D'Lo. The rest of it was LeBron. And you're like, that's probably not ideal. I'm just saying. Like, if we're going to judge things that are ideal, that's not it. It was a chaos ending then because Jamal Murray, look, they were still up, the Lakers. They were still up. When D'Lo hit that extra shot, right, like with 1 minute to go, they were still leading. Like, it put them back up. And you're like, aha, they're probably maybe going to hold on. It's probably maybe going to go to overtime because Jamal Murray went, all right, check out these free throws on your head, bang, bang. Got them back up to 97-97 after D'Lo made his shot. So it was 97-95. Jamal Murray gets the foul on LeBron James, hits both free throws. We're tied up at 97. LeBron carves through everybody with 47 seconds left. Goes back up too. Jamal Murray goes back up the other way, finds himself in a bit of a jam on the elbow, hits it. No worries. We're back tied at 99. LeBron James tries the game-winning three, basically. Leaves 12 seconds left on the clock after a bit of a scramble for the rebound. They don't take a timeout. Jamal Murray just goes, boys, I've got this. Check this out. Bang! Game winner over the top of Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis is swallowed up by a sea of black Nuggets jerseys. It was absolute chaos. Jamal Murray, what a legendary performance. It was huge. Absolutely huge. They came from the clouds. They beat them 101-99. Lakers had 14 turnovers to 9. AD was massive. He had 32 and 11, but was just completely cooked by the end of this game. LeBron James had those two massive threes. He was the only one who did shit in the fourth quarter. It's like, this dude's 39. Los Angeles Lakers, can you fucking wake up and do something? Like, anybody. And LeBron's like, fuck me, man. I'm 39. Do I have to do this all by myself again? Had the Nelson Muntz this fourth fucking quarter. D'Lo had 23 points. You might remember he hit 6 threes in the first half. He finished with 7. Great job. But LeBron having 26, 8, and 12 is just taking the piss. Reeves at 9, 6, and 2, shot 4 of 11. He's been a bit off kilter in this series so far. Obviously, he's spending a lot of it chasing around the likes of Jamal Murray and KCP and co. Rui did nothing as well. 3 points, 5 rebounds, 6 points for Torian the Red Bull Prince. Gabe Vincent and Spencer Dinwiddie just vaunted off-season acquisitions for the LA Lakers. Well, Dinwiddie was obviously during the season. 0-3 combined. Brutal. For the Nuggets, 27, 20, and 10 for Nikola Jokic. Hello. Love that. 2 steals, 3 turnovers. Grew, crushed it. Jamal Murray had 20 points, 5 assists. He had 14 points in that fourth quarter alone. 0-5 from downtown. He shot 9-24, but goddamn, that was clutch as hell. Michael Porter Jr. had 22. He shot 6-10 from 3. Aaron Air Gordon had 14-7-3 as well. Had a couple of big moments at Aaron Air Gordon. Enjoyed that. 0-4 from downtown for KCP, but still had 6 points. He had a sick dunk. Christian Brown was found money as well. 10 points, 5-8 shooting. They only went 8 of 34 from downtown, did the Nugs. That's what happens when Jamal Murray goes 0-5. But Denver win. Go up 2-0, and they have now won 10 straight against the Los Angeles Lakers. For it to be on this absolute fucking Kali Ma, tear your heart out shot from fucking Jamal Murray, you hate to see it.
The Lakers stink!
Well, they don't stink, and it's even funnier because they're actually good, and they just keep getting their heart broken. Right, NBA Australia Pro Performance of the Night.
That's not a night. That's a knife.
It's going to be jamming fucking Jamal Murray. God damn, 6 of 8, hit the game winner in the fourth quarter. That was unreal. 14 points. He carried them right down the stretch. Jokic was incredible as well. Obviously, what do you have? The 28, 20, and 12. You're taking the piss, mate. Absolutely. I mean, what are we doing here? 27, 20, and 10. That's what he had. Absolute chaos. Josh Hart, he did everything in that game for the New York Knickerbockers of New York City, except hit basically that massive Dante DiVincenzo 3, which was just huge. But seriously, 8 points, 27 seconds. That was absolutely incredible. Hart makes that happen, keeps him in that game. And then Dante DiVincenzo and Brunson hit the shots down the stretch that get them the win. I'll tell you what. Brunson hitting that bouncing three out of nowhere. Dante hitting the absolute just jack three. OG hitting the free throws right at the end. So the Joel Embiid when he... Look, Maxey didn't take a timeout. Like the inbounds, they should have taken the timeout in the inbounds. Maxey fucking flubs the ball. He shoves... Who did he shove? He shoved like Deuce, I think, anyway. Or maybe Hart. He probably shoved Hart out of the road. He fumbles the ball. Hart probably then fouls him, falls on the ball. They take it away from him, get it to away they go. And then the thing is, he gives up the ball at the end. It's like, Maxey, you've got a couple of seconds left. He passes the ball to Joel Embiid, a completely gassed Joel Embiid who can't shoot from three at this point. He's just cooked. And clank, Knicks win. You hate to see it again. Pretty funny, pretty wild. But we've got to give this one to Jam and Jamal Murray. Hit the game winner. That was fucking sick. And Dante DiVincenzo having the stones to hit that second one. God damn, that's good. Spud of the night.
Spud, 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 it is spud of the night.
Spud of the night. Orlando is 17 of 72 from downtown in these two games. Yeah, not great. Not helped by Cole Anthony. Ice cold! Anthony being ice cold and not hitting a field goal so far. This entire series. That's right. That's how bad it's been. He went 0 of 4 today. Did ice cold. He had 0 points once more. He had 5 rebounds. Yeah, in 17 minutes. What are you doing, mate? Absolutely cooked gear this was. So 0 of 4 after going 0 of 7 in game 1. He's on a heater, is our man ice cold. But really, in terms of like just really bad shooting, we had a couple of other ones. Inside of ice cold Anthony, Reggie Jackson went 0 of 5. He had 1 of 7 for Johnny Isaac and Wendell, as I mentioned, 1 of 7 for Rui Hachimura. And the big one for me, though, it's not so much of a standout. Oh, he took a million shots and missed him. Buddy Hield, he played 15 minutes. He went 1 of 3 from the floor, 0 of 2 from downtown. He had 2 points, 1 rebound, 1 turnover, and 2 fouls. What are you doing, buddy? Seriously, your job is to shoot. It's like the old rap parlance, right? If you're a painter, you paint, motherfucker. If you're a builder, you build, motherfucker. If you're a shooter, then shoot, motherfucker. Like, that is what you should be doing. Why is Buddy Hield afraid to shoot the ball? You were placed on this God-given earth, Buddy Hield, to score while playing basketball, to shoot, to launch threes. You've done it your entire career. Now he's just shitting down his leg. He's like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. And it's going to cost the Sixers this series. Not unless you listen to Joel Embiid, in which case they've actually probably already won this series because they're the best team. Despite being down 0-2, they're the best team. And I can't hear anything else from Joel Embiid because this just in. Oh, yeah, it's just him sucking small. El Clasico. All right. What about old mate, no mates?
Old mate, no mates.
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 Oh, who's got no mates today? Nick Nurse and the Philadelphia 76ers basically turning themselves into the crying Embiid meme by we're going to form a lodge a complaint about the refs and, sir, it was the bigger boys. They did that to me. We need to file a grievance. Sorry, I can't hear it from all the fucking sooking going on by the Sixers. Jesus. But also my favorite thing when the Knicks are up and about is obviously the Knicks fans. Like, you know how I approach all this sort of stuff. I think every fan base is hilarious. The Knicks fans are particularly psychotic. But also, they've got some fun ones because you've got Turtle from Entourage being like fucking Zapruder filming like the entire last sequence and like basically calling out Nick Nurse going, he's pump faked the timeout, and then tried to call it where the ball was loose. And then he's showing like fucking slow-mo replays, breaking it down frame by frame, saying, look, this guy, our guy got fucking fouled. Anyway, I love it. If you're getting dunked on by Turtle from Entourage, guess what? Your entire organization's got old mate, no mates. Philly going, we weren't going to talk. I need to talk to Adam Silver. They are a basketball team of Karens. They are the Karen basketball team. I need to speak to the manager. Do ya? Adam Silver's like, I don't fucking care. This is great. It means that New York's going to be in the second round. I need to speak to the manager. Sir. Who's in charge here? I need to speak to them. All right. Joel Karen Embiid. I love it. Pantsing of the night. I feel like letting a team score 8 points in 27 seconds is a bit of a pantsing. Notorious KCP yammed on AD, though. That was fucking gnarly. I enjoyed that one. KCP going up against his old team is always really fun, so that was fun as hell. Who is better than Lonzo Ball?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. You're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. Look, never forget that Tyrese Maxey was like an exceptionally late draft pick. And it was obviously way better than Lonzo Ball and has had substantially more playoff success than Lonzo Ball, who's never played before in the NBA playoffs. But Maxey, like, for a dude who was the 21st pick in the draft, he crushes it. God, he was good today. And I like, as much fun as it is shitting on the Sixers, he was fucking massive. He was immense. He almost carried them single-handedly to the win in that game. Like, the way he was doing it was absolute chaos. Like, that fourth quarter was absolutely immense. Like, put that shit in the Louvre. But meanwhile, you got Tobias Harris doing sweet fucking nothing in the entire second half. 0-3 in the third quarter. Amazing gear by Tobias. What did he do in the 10 minutes he played in the fourth quarter, Jim? He went 0 of 0 in a surprise. 0 points. Classic Tobias Harris. Amazing. Meanwhile, fucking Maxey's out there. He scored 15 points by himself in the fourth quarter. Nearly won them the game. And easily better than Lonzo Ball today. But the cool thing is, we are in the NBA Australia studios. That's right. What does that mean? It's time for everybody's favorite segment. It's the magic tweet of the day. Isaiah Hartenstein is the hero of the Knicks with his 14.8 rebound performance. He had both the game-winning offensive rebound that led to DiVincenzo's game-winning three and the block on Tyrese Maxey that secured the victory. What a wild, fun, and exciting playoff game. Ah, I love this one. But then, what do we say? The next one is, even though I didn't get a chance to watch, I heard OKC won a thriller over the Pelicans last night. Congrats to them. What do we say? Thanks, Magic. I love it. The toughest one for Magic is, he's tweeted out during the game today, LeBron said, not on my watch, big fella. LeBlock has not tweeted about the Lakers-Nuggets game. Come on, Magic. I need to, like, can I write the Magic tweet? The Los Angeles Lakers lost a tough one today in Denver, Colorado, going down 99-101 to Denver Nuggets. Nikola Jokic was fantastic, having 27 points, 20 rebounds, and 10 assists, while Jamal Murray scored a whole bunch of points down the stretch and 14 points in the fourth quarter to lead the Nuggets to a tough win over my beloved Lakers. We'll get them next time. What do we say? Thanks, Magic. That's a good one. I should actually write one every day. That's fucking awesome. Little bit of a dickhead of the week vibe already. It's only Tuesday.
Dickhead of the week.
I wanted to throw this one out there. Genuinely, has anyone ever had as much publicity but achieved as little and sooked so much as a Daryl Morey team? Like, he's made 2 fucking conference finals ever, hasn't made it out of the second round in the East, which has been shit the entire time he's been there, and all he does is fucking sook, run dudes out of town, fuck everything up, and everyone just like is too busy gargling his balls. Like, it's weird. I'm just saying. So if you've got any other thoughts about who's had as much publicity but achieved as little, i.e. nothing, and sooked so very much as Daryl Morey and his teams have, let us know. Let us know. All right, let's do some yen-ass right after this.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadee.
This is Daryl McDonald.
Hey guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Ely.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You listen to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. Yeah, now it's brought to you by the NBA Australia Shop.
Bebo!
Get your merch, get your merch.
Wear it!
Get your merch, get your merch. Get your merch, get your merch.
Yeah, wear it. NBAAustralia.com/shop or just click through on the socials. Nice pretty pictures there. You can wear, get a t-shirt, get a hoodie, get a stubby holder, get a coffee mug, all the good stuff. NBAAustralia.com/shop or just click through on the socials. Away you go. Right, let's do some yeah, nahs. Dan Drosher sent through a couple of good ones. Who would have thought with all those names on the floor, Josh Hart is the MVP of this series through the first two games? Is everything the Sixers need from the $35 million they're paying Tobias? Yeah, nah, yes. It really is chaos that Josh Hart is like the dude and was probably eminently gettable at his price points. And it's he's the exact sort of dude that the Sixers sort of never seem to have. And like Tobias Harris cost them so much fucking money and just stinks. Like Josh Hart, all he does is get the fucking hard rebounds, play hard-nosed defense, play his ass off, and just sort of like step up when needed. It's the exact opposite of basically all the Sixers, apart from maybe Tyrese Maxey. Anyway, Dan Drosher also added, yeah, nah, going to be hard to top that doubleheader. Jamal says, have your clutch player of the season, SGA Curry DeRozan. I'll take the clutch player of the playoffs. Yeah, nah, yes. I absolutely love how good Jamal Murray gets in the playoffs. Like, it is, A, remarkable to take that big of a step up, and B, some all-time shit. Unfortunately, it also leads into C, Reggie Miller going, Kev, I can't tell you again, Kev, he is just amazing. He should be, like, the first guard in the All-NBA team. And you're like, shut up, Reggie. On that note, actually, how good was Jamal Crawford today? Really good, Jim? Yeah, nah, yes. He was like the third dude in the booth for the Reggie Miller-Kevin Harlan game. And he is such a really good, nice, measured, like, addition to Reggie and his dumb fuckery. Like, Reggie at one point called KD, KG. And just like, I look at Reggie Miller's broadcasting, like, look, I fucking hate to bang on about it. But Reggie Miller is basically, as the broadcaster, is the exact same as Reggie Miller, the player, right? He's good, not fucking great. And he keeps doing dumb shit that fucks him up. But he has like a couple of moments like, I don't know, the choke job in New York, whatever. But he can never get over the hump to being great. And he sort of just stays at the same level the entire time as just kind of shit. You know? That's what his NBA career is now ape, or his broadcasting career is now aping his NBA career. Just saying. Think about it. Are the Sixers the biggest sooks in the NBA? Yeah, nah. Yeah, I mean, leaning into the crying Embiid meme was something I didn't see coming. I didn't have that on my bingo card. Especially after, like, there were some calls that went their way that if you're going to fucking complain about the officials, like, yeah, you're going to mention that as well, you morons. Jesus. We're going to file a grievance. Then LeBron comes out and is like, yeah, look, that was fucked on their game. And, like, look at our game as well. So I found that one a bit weird too. So MPJ wangs D'Lo across the head. But the ref's like, oh, well, the ball was already up in the air. So it's not a shooting foul at all. So it's just cool that he punched him in the head. Oh, inadvertent contact. Oh, he hit him in the head. I thought the head was sacrosanct in the NBA as well as the AFL. What are we doing here? So that was a weird one. And a bit of a surprise that it got overturned. But anyway. Would you want to coach Charlotte if you were JJ Redick? Yeah, nah. I mean, as I said, he might just want to get away from Kendrick Perkins and Stephen A. Smith. I feel like, because he played at Duke, obviously. you know, a bit of North Carolina. He probably gives them a bit of fucking fun dookie vibe, right? So if you're JJ, you'd be probably able to set your own price. It's new owners. They're going to want that sort of new fucking new GM, new coach smell. So they have to pay through the nose. It's also just like, obviously JJ's a sicko, like a fucking basketball sicko. And I think that'd be kind of fun. But the big question I have is, can Charlotte actually be fixed? Yeah, nah. I mean, probably not in the next 2 years. Like, you just think about that team. It's like LaMelo and Brandon Miller. A bit of Mark Williams. Miles Bridges. Ew. Cody Martin. Micic and Trey Mann. Grant Williams. I wouldn't take this job because I'd have to fucking deal with Grant Williams. Like, that would be the one thing I'm like, I just, nah, I can't be fucked. It's just too much. I mean, obviously I'd take the job, but I just want the vice president of common sense from Adam Silver and Co. What's the unpopular opinion today?
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
Tomorrow after game, more game twos, and I think there's more game twos on Thursday as well, right? So after the game twos, I want to rank the top five most frustrating teams after two games in the playoffs. People are, oh, don't overreact to one game. You know what I say? You can definitely overreact to whatever the fuck you want. Because, yes, playoff series are very long and very complicated at times, but at the same time, when you only have a very, very small sample size of, well, that was shit, you should panic a little bit and figure the fuck out. Like, the most frustrating teams, top five, we're going to rank them after one, two games. It's Dallas, it's Philly, it's Orlando, it's Indy, and it's Phoenix. Like, what have they all got in common? They're shit and they keep losing. But Indy tomorrow is going to be fascinating. I can't wait to see what happens. But speaking of this, right, it's an interesting vibe. I love this thought. Let's do it. It's Outback Takehouse. It's Tuesday at Outback. You know what that means? Well, today's special is very, very, very special. That's right. Overnight, two possums got caught in the overhead wires. Instant deep fried smoking charred possums only at Outback. I mean, it might taste a little bit frizzy, if that makes sense, but still bloody delicious. And it's only at Outback. And today's flame grill take is, don't ever forget that the draft is overrated. The last number one pick to win a title was Andrew Bloody Wiggins in 2022. Before that, LeBron and AD on the Mickey Mouse Lakers. Who was the last number one pick to win a title with the team that actually drafted them, though? That would be bloody LeBron and Kyrie back in 2016. Before that, it was Tim Duncan. Before that, it was David Robinson. Before that, it was Hakeem Olajuwon. Just saying, if you're picking at the top of the draft, you're still fucking cooked, mate. Because if you think about the Knicks today, they did not even have a lottery pick play a minute for them in game one. And then, I'll tell you what, the only Nick drafted inside the top 20 was Dante DiVincenzo. He was 17th. Brunson's a second rounder. Hartenstein's a second rounder. Josh Hart is the last pick in the first round. Deuce McBride, second round. Mitchell Robinson, the other Mitchell Robinson, second rounder. Bojan, second rounder. OG, 23rd overall. Precious, 20th overall. Guess what? The draft's cooked, mate. Build a culture. Win some fucking basketball games. Only at Outback. I mean, I don't know if that's a flame grill take. I just think it's kind of fucking true. All right, Australian Player Watch right after this.
This is Matthew Delvedover, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, Aussies in action today. It was Jinglin' Joe Ingles up against the Cleveland Cavaliers. And, yeah, it was a bit of a rough one. I think Jingles got out there in the first quarter. Palabancaro tried to pass the ball to him cross court and threw it directly into the path of, I feel like it was Max Strus. And it was not very good. Jingles, though, ends up playing 14 minutes. He went 1 of 2 from the floor, only 0 of 1 from downtown. He had one rebound, 3 assists and a steal, though, for his 2 points as on top of that. So, just a rough day for, I think, just about everybody on Orlando. But Jingles, 1 of 2 for his 2 points, 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 rebound, 0 turnovers, 0 fouls. I'll tell you what, he does look a bit slow. But that's all right. They need him to hit threes. And, like, this is the problem. Jingles will have these moments where he just doesn't hit threes for a little bit. So need him to get his shot dropping, especially in time for, you know, Gay Perry and the Olympics. Just saying. But that was it, wasn't it? Because there's no Aussies left on Philly or the Knickerbockers of New York City. Nor are they on the Lakers or the Nuggets. So we have a couple in action tomorrow. But before that, we'll do an Andrew Gaze Graham Mumber Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence. It's the first annual
Andrew Gaze Graham Mumber.
All right, easy one today. It's LeBron James. I sort of didn't bang on about how good he was in this game, but he was fucking amazing. 26 points, 8 rebounds, 12 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. Remember, he's as old as I am. This is insane. He's the oldest player in NBA history with 25, 5, and 10 in a playoff game. And I groan when I get off the couch. That is pretty fucking excellence. It's pretty fucking excellence. It's the personification of excellence. Great job, LeBron. 26, 8, and 12. 2 steals, 2 blocks. It's just ridiculous that he's going to carry that fucking team by himself in the fourth quarter. Absolute chaos. Absolute bloody chaos. All right, let's do a Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in, a.k.a. when Jim gets his phone out and looks at Patty Mills, which is completely fine by me. Love me some Baller Pat. All right, let's do it. Oh, here we go. For the culture, it's that awesome video. That looks unreal. Here for that. And as I said yesterday, the Jock Lando one. Just, Jesus. Jesus, Doc. What are you doing, mate? Let's have a look at Dante, because he's got some new stuff as well popping off. There you go, on target. Oh, some nice pictures of him shooting. Love to see that. And all his teammates. Good job. All right, let's do some game previews for tomorrow. We have 3 cracking games.
Game previews. Game previews.
Thanks, inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem, Jim. How's it all going?
Oh, phew. Tell you what, be a bit happier if the squid could go back to daycare. He can't again tomorrow, so...
Jesus.
It's going to be just a pain in the ass. Anyway, we went 1 of 3 on the picks today. It was actually, weirdly enough, the Lakers, because we're them +7.5. The Knicks didn't cover, and obviously Orlando got beaten, did not cover the 5.5 either way. So tomorrow, though, we have Phoenix at Minnesota. So the Wolves are up, obviously, 1-0 in that series. I think the way that they played the other day, I really like the Wolves again, -3.5. I think they sort of cottoned on to the simple idea of, like, yeah, our size is awesome. Rudy and co. can just really just sort of mess up all their big dudes, make them go small, then fuck up a bit of KD as well. Even though KD played really well, Beal and Booker didn't do much. The rest of that Phoenix depth was MIA, and Ant-Man got off the chain. I think this one would be a bit closer. I think Minnesota eke out the win, though, and they head to Phoenix up 2-0. Indy-Milwaukee, I think we get a bit of a reversal on this one. I'm going Indy +1.5 in Milwaukee. It's Algonquin for the good land. I think it won't be the good land for the Bucks. I think Dame time, the 35 points in the first half was absolutely insane. Then riding Middleton and Bobby Portis... You know, they're in a massive lead. The game is over. Indy, I think, despite getting a really good Siakam game, they should get a little bit more out of, like, Nembhard, Naismith, and obviously Tyrese Halliburton. Because we know that that defense of Milwaukee can crank it up. They sort of did the other day. Indy have these patches where they just sort of fall apart. They do also tend to bounce back and have, like, these massive games where they go, oh, here's 130 on your head. And I think Indy can do that tomorrow. So give me Indy +1.5. Then we have Dallas and the Clippers. Dallas was so unbelievably bad yesterday that you're like, really, Jim? You're going to pick Dallas? And I say, yes! If only for the simple fact, I don't think the rest of the team can be that shit again. Now, it would be the most Dallas thing in the world for them to be that shit again and prove me completely wrong. But to only score 8 points in that second quarter, I just don't know if that'll happen again. And if they can really put the torch to the Clippers, if there's still no Kawhi, I think Dallas can win this one in LA, -2.5. Get out of there with the split. The Mavs will have washed the bad taste of that ass-kicking in game one completely away. Just saying. So give me Dallas -2.5. I don't feel wildly confident about that game, though. Who knows what'll happen. But that's it. All right. So we're going to go Minnesota, Indy, and Dallas tomorrow. And we'll be back tomorrow to wrap those games up, because that's what we do here on NBA Australia. We are daily. So in the meantime, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey, IG, of course. We're all over the socials. You know that. We'll be doing little live videos. Try to do that every morning as well. Hanging out. Reiterate the picks. Just make sure anything's changed just before they all tip off. So keep an eye out on the socials for that. I'll try to get it everywhere else. It was just up on Facey this morning. But anyway, I was walking the squid back, because he's just hanging around the entire time. He's not going anywhere. Ugh. Just want to get him to take air and just hang out. I just want to go into the office. Jeez. Anyway, also, speaking of which, check out AFL Today Show. That's a really good one. We'll have a Wednesday show tomorrow, which will be good. Check that across all the socials as well. We are doing a live stream of the footy on Thursday afternoon, Anzac Day. I'll be doing a big watch-along with a big bunch of super coach and betting stuff. So if you're into that, just chuck it on your phone or your tablet while you're watching the footy on Anzac Day. Give us a look. Say g'day. Jump into the comments. All the good stuff. AFL Today Show. On Facey, it's Sports Today Show. So go find that. All right. Good stuff. You can also check out NFL Australia, the Cricket Today podcast, the Football Today podcast. Hold all tickets, all the good stuff there. Check a rating review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, whatever app you use on your Android phone. It really does help out. Come on. I don't ask for much. Get around NBAAustralia.com/shop and get your merch. You can be very cool and get a hoodie. You can be very cool, get a t-shirt. You know, do all the good stuff. Big thanks always go to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Check out the new band House Hats, as well as Joshua De Laurentiis, Fascinator, Goldmine, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you hear throughout the show. Smash them on Bandcamp, Triple J on Earth, Facey, Apple Music, Spotify, whatever. Have you follow your bands, listen to your bands, do that. NBA Australia, Sports Australian bands, so should you. All right, we'll close out with a quick deli review of Shogun. Nice. That'll be fun. I think it's only the first couple of episodes, but either way, we will catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying look after yourselves, would ya? And later, Hosanna! Oi, 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 how the fuck is? You saw my deli over here just swinging by to say g'day and give you the latest lowdown on pop culture and shit, eh? And I'll tell you what, I'm just working really fucking hard trying to get ready for like the Paris Olympics and shit. I'm like on the blow every day, the old cat and dog. Or the old, I don't know, what is it? The old, you know, the old fucking dog and bone. Just yelling out, hey, Gorge, get us on the team, man. And he's like, oh, fucking just settle down, deli. You know how the process works out. I'm like, oh, I know, but I'm fucking deli. Put me on the fucking plane to Paris. I'll fucking smash up. Anyway, so yeah, Gorge is very non-committal, but should be right. Meantime, the Pies keep winning games. That's pretty fucking good and shit. But yeah, a bit of downtime in between all the training and shit. So yeah, I'm just like doing lots of Bitcoin and fucking shit like that. But the misso is like, hey, we're going to watch this new telly show. It's called Shogun. It's about like this dude in Japan. And I'm like, fucking, here we go. Then I watched it. It is sick. I'm like, who the fuck is this guy? When is this? And she's like, oh, 1600s, bro. I'm like, what the fuck happened in the 1600s, man? And I'm learning. Plenty of shit that turns out in Japan. So, yeah, fucking nuts, man. So, really enjoyed it. No spoilers or nothing because it's, like, real new and shit. But watched a couple of episodes. And I'm fucking hooked, mate. So, I'm just like, fucking Shogun this, Shogun that. I'm probably going to buy a samurai sword. Yeah, all the cool stuff. Anyway, it gets about, like, 20 out of 10 deli one so far because it's fucking sick as. I hope they fucking land it because I don't like being disappointed, but fucking love swords. All right, that'll do me for this week. I'll catch you next time. Later, fuckers. Deli out.